Raised Rowdy.
All right, guys, welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast. I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And our special guest, Mr. Mason Villa today. Thank you so much.
Yes. Yay, thank you for joining us.
After a slight mix-up of the podcast recording equipment, we are back.
Brutal.
And thank you for being understanding with that.
Yes, it's totally all good.
Absolutely. We had a pretty cool conversation already, and we're going to get back into it.
Yes, let's do it.
So,
go ahead.
Yeah. Why don't we talk about your upbringing and kind of like what brought you to the musical sound that you are now currently doing?
Well, I grew up a little baby in a tent out in the Fiddler's Convention, you know?
Is that real?
Yeah, that's a real, man. I tell you, out in the mud and in the rain and with fiddles and banjos all around you all the time. Mm-hmm. I tell you, where I grew up in the Blue Ridge Hills, you could throw a rock and you hit a banjo player. It's kind of how it goes. And
hell yeah.
Now that I'm living in Florida, it's not exactly the same way. But I grew up near Mayberry, basically, mm-hmm. if you're familiar with the Andy Griffith Show, and which is based on Mount Airy, North Carolina, which is kind of the closest town that I could tell y'all that I grew up near.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. Do your folks play?
My dad's an award-winning songwriter, actually. Yeah, and wow. He's definitely a big inspiration behind a lot of my music. I love his songs to death. And if you know anybody looking for cuts, I mean, he's got a couple uncovered gems, diamonds in the rough. That's what I meant to say. But and then my mom always, encouraged me as well, took me to lessons and took me to different festivals mm-hmm. as I was a kid.
Yeah.
So you took a lot of guitar lessons growing up?
Yeah, I did. I took lessons from, there's these brothers, the McGees, and they're just kind of known as musical legends around the county. I'm from Stokes County. Rex and Ralph McGee. One plays the fiddle and banjo and the other plays the mandolin, but they both play some guitar and mm-hmm. just are both killer pickers, and I took lessons from both of them as I was a kid, and then my dad taught me a little bit too, and learned a little bit on my own through. I mean, nowadays it's just easier than ever. You've got that YouTube slowdown mm-hmm. feature and everything. Mm-hmm.
My buddy Chris Kapp is the one who put us together, you know, to have you on. He's like, you guys gotta have Mason on, he's incredible. And he's like, dude, he's a real good flat picker too.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've definitely placed in some Fiddler's Conventions mm-hmm. contests through the years. But
on guitar.
On the guitar. Yeah. Actually, on the mandolin, too. Yeah. So those, I love to play those old fiddle tunes, man. I just have those Appalachian melodies stuck in the back of my head, and they're definitely a huge influence on the music that I'm putting out nowadays, even though I'm also taken from stuff like rock and roll and modern country, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've been taking guitar lessons recently also. From Jake Workman.
Oh, he is a hoss.
Dude, holy shit.
He's one of the best that have ever done it.
He's a great teacher, too.
Yeah.
You were talking about some of this Appalachian melodies. You want to kind of intro us and tell us about what the music is you're putting out? Like, what you got coming
out? Yeah, so this album, it's just self-titled, Mason Vibe, because I think of it as a pivotal point. I played for over 3 years touring and recording as a member of Old Crow Medicine Show, and the last album that the band put out, I was on and got to sing lead on two songs. There's a song, Daughter of the Highlands, which y'all should check that out if you get a chance, because it shows some of that old traditional melodies and everything, but that got nominated for a Grammy, and then had this album I always wanted to do and went to go pursue it, and that's why I'm kind of calling it my own name, just because I think of like I'm a grown-up now or whatever, kind of. And I feel like I had that experience with Old Crow as kind of like a college degree, or so to speak. Or,
yeah.
You know, like I...
Learned
the ropes from it, yeah.
Was it scary leaving?
Oh, yeah, it still is. Every day, coming on here, talking to y'all. It's a little scary.
Yeah. Hey, this is a safe place. Right, Nick?
Oh, yeah. We're the easy. We're not going to ask you to do anything too hard. We're just
that's good.
Straight down the center, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Good cop, bad cop, I hear.
Well, good for you for kind of stepping out and doing your own thing.
Thanks, yeah,
this music's incredible.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
A whole bunch.
When I first listened to it, I was like, this is music that I could hear Kurt just jamming out to, blasted full bore. Like, the lane of things that Kurt loves the most is exactly like kind of like what you're doing, which
is cool.
Heck
yeah. And because there's actually, I put a, like, I put a little blurb on there in the liner notes.
Yeah.
That was just to let people know you got to turn this thing up to 11.
Yeah.
I don't know if other people put that, but it really does sound good loud. When I was doing the mixing, I just, with the producer Aaron Ramsey, I was like, I'm listening to this stuff really loud.
Yeah.
So hopefully other people are.
Yes. When absolutely.
As my point of reference, I think of it. And it's funny too, like, I don't know how much y'all do with the mixing and that kind of thing, but how like different volumes, you hear different frequencies differently and all that kind of stuff. And I just think this album sounds good turned up all the way.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Because sometimes you can, when you turn something down, it's like you just hear this, it's like just sounds like a snare drum sometimes. You can just hear that. And you turn it up and you're like, oh, there's a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's good to crank it.
It's always interesting to me because sometimes I will get songs like pre-mix. Mm-hmm. And it's just like the difference that comes from that mixing is wild. And I've even heard like where there's like three different versions of the same song with different mixes. And the amount that it changes the track is wild.
It is wild.
Coming from just being a music fan to now getting to like get little parts of that in the world, it's just so interesting to me.
Oh, yeah. Especially hearing like your favorite songs and then hearing the old mixes before that didn't make the record, and you're just like, oh my god, I'm so glad they didn't do that.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
It's interesting.
Crank it up, brother. We're cranking up this Mason music.
Yeah. So you got the EP that's out now, and we're here to talk about the full record, which, you know, as I said a little earlier, I got a chance to get a little preview of, which is great.
Yes.
So thanks to your team for sending that over to us a little early.
Right on.
Yeah. As we talked about, it's like a little bit, it's definitely bluegrass, but there's definitely more to it too. So why don't we talk about some of the songs that you currently have out, and then we'll get back into maybe some of the newer stuff that's on the way.
Gotcha. Perfect. Yeah. So the song Melting Sun is the last one that just dropped.
Yeah.
And there's an associated claymation music video that was done by Chloe Tyler, who recently had some critical acclaim for her cover of Wyatt Flores's album Welcome to the Plains, and the associated album artwork that is with that, and I just think it's beautiful and amazing. And I'd never heard of a bluegrass song that had a claymation music video, so I thought that was kind of trippy.
Yeah,
the only claymation music video I think of is, I know Tool has done some.
Yeah. What is that, Sober, or what song is that? Is that what they want?
I'm sure there's a few. The bass player makes them.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't realize that. That's crazy.
I think it was a bass player. He worked in Hollywood, like special effects. Like, he worked on Jurassic Park or something.
Yeah.
So they have that. But in the bluegrass world, I don't think any.
Yeah.
So it's
Billy
super
Strings
cool.
Has definitely got some wild, trippy music videos and has dabbled into that world of kind of avant-garde art associated with bluegrass music, which I really dig.
Yeah, same.
Claymation for me always reminds me of, like, my childhood. Like, what a celebrity death match.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
Or Wallace and Gromit.
Yeah.
Chicken Run. Yes. Or
exactly. So it has like, it adds a little bit of whimsicalness to me. I don't know if that's the right word.
Whimsy,
a little bit of whimsy for me, but like in the best way possible. And it's so nostalgia filled for me.
Yeah.
I think Hardy did a music video in claymation. And
oh, really?
Wow. Yeah. And it was cool. Just like, because you don't, it's not something you expect. And then when you see it, the things you can do with that as opposed to a regular actor, actress music video is very different,
Definitely.
Which I think is cool.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's super unique.
So that song is, I wanted it to have that kind of associated art piece with it because it's kind of the trippier song on the album. A lot of the other ones we kind of kept short and sweet, but that was one we were like, all right, let's have the extended jam on that. And it features Aaron Ramsey, who produced the album, playing this killer Eddie Van Halen style mandolin solo on there that's just shredding.
Yeah, it hits. He really goes for it, and it's sick. Yeah,
took no prisoners. That's what we said in studio.
Yeah,
that's sort of like maybe that tune's influence on your mom's side of the music more than dad's a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit more
jammy.
A little jammy.
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it all the way.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the jam world and the bluegrass world made a baby, and that baby is you, right?
Yeah, hopefully.
A little
there's
bit.
That, but then I also, what I love about this album is there's kind of like some songs that are country too.
Yeah.
And co-wrote a couple with Zach John King.
Yeah.
Which, shout out to him. He's been killing it.
Killing it.
And we both met on the set of American Idol back in 2020, which was just a wild thing to still have connections with people, and I wanted to also shout out Lil Skinny, because that's how Skinny. I first heard about y'all, who I met out there as well. But me and Zach wrote these songs when I was in Old Crow, and he kind of moved to Nashville right around the time that I had joined Old Crow, and he came to me kind of asking, like, hey, man, what's it like? Like, how do you, you know, tell me about your whole experience of joining that band and, like, making it in town. And it's wild, because now it's full circle, because I'm kind of asking him. I'm like, you're killing it, dude. Hey, I want to know how do you get all these TikTok girls
I TikTok?
Yeah, there's definitely mutual respect there. He's rocking it. But I love those songs, because they definitely really feel like they could be on a country album and not just a bluegrass album, especially the song Fireball, which, I mean, I think when we wrote it, we thought maybe it could be like a Keith Urban song.
But, yeah.
I just connected with it so much because I just got married 2 months ago. Oh, whoa.
Congrats.
Congrats. I got excited for marriage there.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Congrats on that. And when we were talking about your music, it's like there's definitely bluegrass, of course. Like, mm-hmm. You can tell that's like your background. But you hear a little bit of mainstream country go in there. Maybe a little bit of like, I don't know, like rock here and there coming into it as well.
Yes.
So it's a cool, interesting mix of things. And I think that's one of the things that made it pop out to me was, one, I heard it and I was like, Kurt would blast this at 11 in his freaking Subaru riding down the road. And then two, like, it does kind of flow kind of like between genres, which I think a lot of music in the country world does now, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's always interesting. I think that's what like keeps my ear interested when I'm listening to music, is that like evolution of it, the sound.
Yeah, but I wanted to have a couple songs on it that showcased bluegrass music.
Yeah.
And just for the stalwarts out there, or for the old heads to go, all right, this guy still is actually bluegrass and not just progressive.
Yeah.
And that I can do it. And so I got some pillars, in my opinion, of the bluegrass community.
Mm-hmm.
Ronnie Bowman, he used to be a founding member of, well, not a founding member, but a big part of Lonesome River Band, kind of their most famous time, when they were making hit records. And he is just kind of a name in bluegrass that is known by a lot of people, as well as Junior Sisk, who's a local boy to where I grew up. And then the queen of bluegrass herself, Miss Rhonda Vincent, sang this wonderful Mountain Lullaby, which is a trio with me and her and Ronnie Bowman. And
wow,
it was dedicated to my buddy Nate Leith, who is a great fiddle player in Nashville, who just he just had a baby, and he asked me to be the godfather to his son. So yeah, it's a little tribute to Lil Riley.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah,
definitely keeping the stalwarts, as you said, happy with the trad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
love it. So let's go into some live stuff. I know you've got some tour dates coming up that we were just talking about.
Yeah, the big one is May 9th is kind of my big album release show for Nashville at The Basement. And if y'all ain't got anything going on, I'd love
OG.
To, you know, you
what
might be on
tour
or something. But
is that a weekend?
It's a Friday.
Friday.
Yeah, May 9th at The
on
Basement.
Friday.
The OG.
Yeah,
OG the OG Basement. Basement.
I love the OG Basement. That's one of my favorite rooms in town.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm going to be at Oklahoma. We're helping MC.
We're looking up May 9th. May 9th, everybody. May 9th. May 9th. Let's see. Friday, May 9th. I'm free.
All the Nashville cats.
I'll be there.
Come on down.
No.
I'm free.
Oh, no.
Yes.
The second I'm gone. Yeah, I'm back. Okay.
We'll
yeah.
be there with bells on. I'm put that on my
All
calendar. Right. Right.
Basement. Yeah.
Right,
let's do it.
Talking.
Committing on the pod.
I'm seeing y'all. Yeah. Y'all doing it right on the
Mason.
In front of everybody here. You're putting it in
your
calendar.
The week
awesome.
Before we're at Calf Fry. So I'll be in town that week.
Yeah.
That's great. Dude, first of all, I'm sure you've been to The Basement, but just that room is so cool.
Man, that was the first concert that I ever saw in Nashville.
That's
my
awesome.
Buddy who I was just talking about, Nate Leith.
Yeah.
I came out here because I had a little tour actually up in Canada that was like this. It was like a house concert tour with this older mandolin player buddy of mine. He had booked it, and it fell through for whatever reason. And I was like, man, I've been so excited about this tour. I want to go somewhere and travel, you know, because I'd never been to Canada at the time. I think I was, you know, about 20 or something. And I was stoked about it. So went out to Nashville to visit Nate, and he was playing with Sierra Farrell at the time. And so it's like me, Nate, and Sierra Farrell walking around Nashville, checking it out for my first time and going to all the honky tonks and dancing and everything. And it was.
Did you guys go to, what's that one in Gallatin? That's where I saw her play.
The Legion.
Is that where y'all were at?
I think we definitely went there for like back when they had Honky Tonk Tuesdays there and everything. And they have a bluegrass jam there on Wednesdays too. Mm-hmm. And that's where I've connected with a lot of folks
in
Nashville. Yeah, the American Legion post 82. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good spot. Super fun. I saw Sierra play a cover set at Underdog over there. And then it was like her and a bunch of old guys were the band. It was really cool.
Right on.
Well, anyway, so you're talking about your traveling.
Yeah. That was my first concert I ever saw in Nashville. I think Sierra Farrell and this guy Timbolo. Timbo. He's an amazing singer as well.
He is.
But I'm about to go on tour with the other Sierra Hull and mandolin. Mm-hmm. You know,
virtuoso,
amazing. As well as the band I'm With Her, about to announce some tour dates with them, which is kind of an exclusive on that. Excited about. I'm playing a lot in the Midwest right now, a whole bunch in Indiana. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't you just finish like a short tour right now?
Yeah, with this country crooner, one of the best in the business, Logan Ledger. Shout out to him, who was very fun to go on tour with. We'd sing together every night and just hang out after the show, just us and the guitars, nothing else, playing these rooms all over. Went all the way up to Boston to play the famous Club Passim up there, which is a great folk room.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then we played the Skinny Dennis up in Brooklyn up there just this past week, and that was, both of those were sold out, so that was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Sick.
Well, I haven't been to the club. That I used to go to that bar a lot when I lived in Boston.
Oh, yeah.
And back in the Berkeley days. And that's a cool spot.
Oh, so you went to Berkeley?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so did that guy. I was talking about Nate. I was wondering. Yeah, maybe. Or you probably know some of these. Or I think, didn't Sierra Hull go there? So
yeah.
A lot of these bunch of killer pickers went to
that place.
I didn't
even know bluegrass existed when I was at Berkeley, unfortunately.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Oh, well. Now I do now. I was a little late to the game.
Yeah. I don't even know how to spell Berkeley, so.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Or do you know my old roommate, Paul Segroy? Was he up there when you were there?
No. Doesn't ring a bell. I was there 05 to 09. So I'm a little older. I'm 37.
Oh, okay.
Damn, what a heck, bro.
Fuck off, bro.
I'm way older than Kurt, honestly.
How old are you, Mason?
I'm 27 years old. Yeah.
He's just a young pup.
Just still baby boy.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Married too, dude.
Going for it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm going for the music right now. Yeah.
You're doing great, by the way.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. I meant married. Super good at guitar, great record.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're crushing it.
Thanks, man.
And I'm excited for these dates too, man. So everyone check it out, and we're definitely going to see you May 9th.
Yeah. All right. It's in the calendar. I love that.
Yeah. Going to have a lot of special guests. And
man,
if you want to bring out the steel or something, you know, hop on with
Hell
it,
yeah.
man. That'd be fun.
And Nick could come jam.
Yeah, I definitely won't. I'll watch real good, though.
Like, yeah, dude, you should.
I listen great.
Whatever. It'd be great to have some. We're just kind of trying to make it some big event for whoever wants to come out and get all the buddies up there and just kind of make it a big celebration.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm not super famous or anything, and I feel like a lot of my friends that play music are have done some big stuff. So it's hard for me to be like, hey, can you open up for me? So I just think of it as like, let's just have a big party. You know?
Pop in.
Yeah, pop in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be great.
Ben Chapman have you ever seen, he does a peach jam over there at the basement? And I think have moved it to the basement east. And that's kind of the vibe of that too. It's like, hey, we'll play. And then we'll just have like our friends pop in and play with us.
Yeah.
That's such a cool format. And something that like, I think is easier to do in Nashville than it is in most other places, right?
Yeah.
Because there's just so many talented people here.
It's just a city full of, it seems like everybody's a celebrity nowadays.
It's crazy, yeah. Honestly, yeah. It's just interesting, too. Like, it's funny, when we're at shows now in Nashville and no one pops up, you're like, that's weird, you know? Where every other city is like, if anybody pops up, you're like, that's crazy.
Yeah. You know,
it's just so interesting. But man, it sounds like you got a good crew of friends and co-writers and you know, cohorts that you're in the music world with. I think that's one of the coolest parts about Nashville, and you lived here for a few years, you know, is like just there's so many people that are all pointing in that same direction,
mm-hmm.
and everybody wants to watch everyone else like just grow and succeed, you know?
I know. I want to shout out to my buddy who I co-wrote the song There Goes Another One on this album that's coming out.
Yeah.
With my buddy Christian Ward, who, like, he would play fiddle with me, and he's a songwriter. He's written some great songs. He wrote that song Red Daisy that Billy Strings does. And But he recently just joined the Traveling McCurries, and then Dale McCurry's band is the new fiddle player, Big Shoes to Fill. And then he just was playing with that guy Jesse Wells on, I think, Kimmel.
Mm-hmm.
And so
he sounded great.
He's just been doing everything. So I just want to shout, you know, it's good to see when your friends are, you got to be happy for your friends when they're doing some killer stuff too. So
that's the coolest part for me about like the songwriter community in Nashville and just in this musical world in general is like just watching everybody like rise up together and everybody root for everyone else, you know?
Especially being in town for a while, it's fun to see like different groups of folks start, you know, doing well.
Yeah. Yeah, and dude, I mean, it's like you talk about how many people you know and how you met everyone, and you know, it's all intertwined. You know,
yeah,
it's
just
like be good to people, be a great player. Like,
award winning flat picker.
Yeah.
golden ticket American Idol voice. That helps.
Yes.
Your dad's an award winning songwriter.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all good stuff.
Yes,
that's badass.
Did you, when you were young at all, did you like write with your dad, or did you get to like watch him do that at all?
I think there's this one song that I don't really remember writing on, but he said that I have a, you know, he was like, "No, you were in the car, you added that verse in there." I was like 12 years old, but no, we mostly, because we don't get to see each other that much, so when we do see each other, we just pick and grin and have a big old time together as much as we can, and have some family time and not try to think about let's make this song, let's just, you know, we just like to have some fun.
Has he ever bestowed upon you any great wisdom in that world though?
Damn, what a great question.
That is a really good question, and it's, I have a funny answer to that.
Yeah,
because I've been telling this story about how we were both teaching at this songwriter camp one time up in New York, and we were kind of doing the end around thing, showing off our songs and then kind of talking about giving some advice to people as well. And Dad said something, well, this was back when I was pretty young, so I was honestly, it's wild that I was even up there too with all the other folks, but he said, well, you want to make your songs simple enough where they're not too hard to play so you can show them to somebody and they're easy to jam along with.
Yeah.
And I was thinking at the time, I'm like, well, Dad, I think you only know a couple chords. And I'm like, I don't, he's just saying that because he, you know, whatever it is. But then the older I've gotten, the wisdom that is so true. Because you don't want some, I mean, for me, I'm just kind of having a pickup band all the time, especially right now. And I'm sure y'all are familiar with that with the whole Nashville thing. And to be able to have original music that you can kind of on the fly be able to pull out to wherever you're at, a big jam, a show where there's just a band on the stage and they're asking you, wanting you to sit in like in town here.
Yeah.
And to be able to, instead of pull out a cover, be like, hey, I got this original song that we can all just jam along to right here. Why wouldn't you promote your own music instead of doing something else? So that was a big piece of advice that I've really taken to heart, is just make it a little simpler for everybody to just hang out and have a little more fun with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's always so interesting to me, like getting to be around Kurt. I get to see him and the buds kind of like all pick on things.
Yeah.
And just I remember the first time Kurt co-hosted with me, we had him pick on a song and I'm like, do you know this song? He's like, no, but I heard it a bunch. And that just blows my mind, you know, like just coming from being a fan, just the idea that you could pick that up as quickly as someone shows you the progression of the chords and kind of play along with it, it's wild to me, but that's another part of the magic of music and the magic of this town, you know?
And then you start learning it and then you're like, maybe it's not as magical. I mean, of course it is, but it's like, yeah, it's not as hard as you would think.
Right. Except for me when I don't know how to do it at all.
But that, when I was, you know, touring with Old Crow, that was the thing about Wagon Wheel, that I was always the allure of that song.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man, I want to write something like that. And so I really went for these big choruses with this album, trying to shoot for this sing-along kind of aspect. And and at the shows, I've been trying to get everybody to, you know, I've like teach them the lyrics almost before I play it too, just to be like, let's all sing this together.
Yeah.
Especially when you're just upstage, you know, I mean, on the stage alone.
Yep.
You need a band with you, and you're like, hey, I got an audience. Y'all are musical. Let's all join in together.
I think that's great. That's so honestly fun. Interacting with the crowd is such an important piece. Just getting people involved in any way, shape, or form, you know? We're seeing, like, in town, we get to see, you know, we host a lot of events. Thank you for playing tonight for us, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
At Rowdy on the Row. Very excited. I'm hosting, so I'll be there.
Oh, right on.
You'll see my pretty face there. But super, super cool there, too, because it's, like, a mix of, like, in-town people and, like, but it's Sunday, so there's a little bit of tourists.
Oh, nice.
So
nice.
Things like ways to take the crowd sometimes, like sing-alongs and stuff like really does work well, and we'll get people even more engaged than they would be just hearing a great song even. We also get to see like trends before they're happening or while they're happening, I guess you'd say. So like we had Max McNown on the podcast, and like that kind of like folky thing is definitely like bubbling up. And then we just had a band, Dasher, that has been playing for us.
Okay.
And they're more like Christian leaning, but in that like kind of vein, super cool, fiddle driven. And, you know, it's really fun. So I'm starting to see that lane of things with like more folky leaning country start coming back into what I would consider to be like the main channel of country music too.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Man. I know it is awesome to see.
Yeah.
Like with artists like Tyler Childers being such a huge name now, where it's not even like he's not underground at all.
No. Yeah.
And to have come from basically just singing folk songs, being a folk singer and with like a little rasp in his voice and country attitude.
Yeah.
he's just amazing. And then so many other folks too, that this whole land with Zach Bryan, who would have thought that would have gone. I mean, but people connect with the music and that's all that matters, I think.
Yeah.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The Zach thing is really driven a lot of this folk, you know, pun intended, revival, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
It is. It's interesting too, like you'll see an artist that comes on the scene and it kind of changes the lane of what the center of the lane is. You know, like I mean, like Luke Combs, like he brought back that sound that sounded like Brooks and Dunn and like 90s-ish, 2000s-ish, like parts, and then you think that the 90s are going away, and then bam, Zach Top comes and it's full swing back in, you know?
Right.
So and with Zach Bryan, it's like that lane opened up wide because he traveled down it and people were paying attention. And man, like I didn't even really get Zach Bryan. Like I knew it was good, but like when I saw his live show, I was like, oh my gosh. it's an experience. And the crowd is wild.
Crazy. They're crazy. Oh, wow.
We were at Auburn Rodeo, gosh, I guess like a year and a half ago. And he was like way too big to be playing there, but was playing there. And they had a way bigger setup for people than they have most of the time.
Wow.
But just the crowd noise, the like, it almost sounds like zombies from Walking Dead. You know what I mean? But like just that noise of the crowd when he's not playing. And then as soon as it starts playing, just all the words screaming, and he doesn't even have to sing. It's wild.
Can't even hear him.
Yeah.
See, that's the goal, to get to the point where, you know, you can just have the whole audience sing your song.
Yeah. I mean, that's
that.
The dream,
amazing.
Right?
Yeah. That's awesome.
Crazy. That just means that those words mean so much to all of those people, you know, and that's like, has to be one of the coolest feelings in the world.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
It's opening up like the country music lane, like you said, just for more folk-based music, which is great.
Yeah.
I think
the country music lane is weirdly wider than ever. Like, you're seeing it crossover with, like, hip-hop, and you're seeing it crossover with, like, of course, everything in between almost. But I think that means that, like, every lane has a shot. You know what I mean?
I think
like,
so, yeah.
Everything that's in there has a shot. And the more eyes that are on the genre in a whole, the more people can find, like, their specific thing in it that they love.
Yeah,
you know?
And I think about it sometimes too, like how come that I'm playing bluegrass and this style of music, and I think honestly it might have been because of ease of access.
Yeah.
I didn't have to go like plug a whole amp in or or I didn't have to worry about waking my parents up or something if I was jamming out rock and rolling with the band and the old drum kit. And so picking bluegrass was just acoustic, and you could do that. You know, you don't have to, you could do it around a campfire or wherever it was. And so just the acoustic guitar has been easy, I guess, to be around that, as well as I'm kind of a banjo addict.
Yeah.
I think I need to go to see a Banjo Lovers Anonymous or something like that.
How many banjos do you have?
You know, I have a couple, but I mean, I'm not a huge, I do play the banjo, but like, I just love the banjo more so, you know, playing with banjo in the band. Mm-hmm. And fiddle.
You were playing banjo here at Raised Rowdy HQ when I walked in. Yeah.
Just grabbed it off the wall.
Yeah.
That thing. Yeah. It sounded good.
Not too bad. Yeah. But musically, I think it's cool to like to hear the background, like, you know, where you came from, and then listening to the music. I can't wait to listen back through it again even more now, knowing a little bit more about your history. Super cool.
Very cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the album release date and the rollout of everything. I don't know if we've covered that yet, so I want to make sure that we do.
So, it's April 25th.
That's when the full length
album drops. That's when the full thing drops. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The full Monty. And then right now, people can, and I'm not sure exactly when this is dropping.
Probably, unless we need to, if you want to hold it for release week, we can. But if not, we'll probably roll it out like next week or the week after.
Oh, okay, cool. That's totally fine. Yeah. I'm not holding on anything. But yeah, right now, Melt in the Sun, as well as four other singles are out. And we've just kind of been doing this waterfall release thing, which I've never done before. But it just turns all the songs basically into an EP whenever a single comes out.
Yep.
And yeah, got five. Almost all the songs on the album are singles. There's not that many whole new ones that are coming out. There's four new songs that are going to drop when the album comes out.
Yeah,
and there's one the week before, "Oh Lordy Me," which is the one I've been kind of ending the shows with. It's the big kind of grab your beer and drink with your buddy and have a big old time on that one.
Sounds great.
When we were in the studio, we waited till the last day after we had like got done with everything. Then we like broke out the jar of moonshine and just went in there and start going, "Oh Lordy me," you know, it felt like we were in an Irish pub or something, you know?
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And so that song's one of the more fun ones, I think. So I'm excited for people to hear that, and that'll be good for it to come out right before the album does. Yeah.
Where did you guys record that project?
Man, you know, I was wanting to record it here in Nashville, but it was kind of cool the way that we recorded it. We recorded it up in the mountains near Floyd, Virginia, where the Mountain Fever Records studio is, with the album, the label that I'm on.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like a little mountain getaway. So people, if you're there, you're there. And people weren't like leaving the session and going back to their families and all that stuff. So it was like a retreat style kind of thing, which was, I did think that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bonded everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always like, well, the fan version of that is like going to a festival and like camping out with your buddies. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, I always say like that you become family with people when you're with them 24 hours a day, you know,
definitely.
Way faster than if you're just like hanging out for 3 hours at a time.
Definitely.
You know?
Especially cutting a record.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Super cool.
Who played on this record? I know we talked a little bit, Jim playing fiddle.
Jim Van Cleve. Yeah. I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast yet, but yeah, no. Jim Van Cleve, he's the man.
Yeah.
Traverses the country and the bluegrass worlds amazingly, as well as we were talking about banjo. One of my favorite banjo players, Jason Davis, who plays with the Dan Tominski Band.
Wow.
And then Jeff Parton played bass and dobro on the album. Just incredibly talented individual.
What?
He tours with my old roommate's band, James Key of East Nashgrass. So he tours with that band, East Nashgrass, which they're just hilarious and some of the best pickers on the scene nowadays. So go check them out. But Jeff played both those parts, and he actually used to play with Rhonda Vincent, dobro with her, and so he was the connection. Shout out to Jeff for getting Rhonda Vincent to come and sing on the album. But who else was on it? There's this upcoming band right now called Shadowgrass that have kind of gotten some viral songs on TikTok for this guitar player, Kaiser, who's just a shredder.
Yeah, yeah.
And he played on the album doing dual guitars with me. And I wanted to have two just to have a beefy sound. Mm-hmm. You know, one over here in the left speaker, one in the right. And he just matched what I was playing perfectly. And we like would capo them up different and different voicings. And it was great. And then I think that's about it. Yeah, Aaron Ramsey, the producer, who helped choose these songs, which, I mean, I think I sang him like, yeah, about 100, and he said, "You're gonna have to break that down a little bit more than that for me."
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, yeah. But then I think I got it down to about 50, and I sang them all to him, and he helped me whittle it down with the ones that he liked to the 10 that we chose for the album.
That's great.
Yeah.
How does a producer's role work in bluegrass? I'm kind of curious about that. Compared to like when I'm thinking of like a regular country session, it might be like, who, you know, like working on tones or working on the voices. Mm-hmm. Do you guys rehearse before you went in, or you just got the guys together? Here's the songs.
No, we, you know, basically just went in there and did some of the arrangements on the fly a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I'm technically listed as a co-producer, but I had some ideas of how kind of the licks and melodies or the riffs that I wanted within this. And this is an album that's filled with a lot of hooky riffs in it. But other than that, like I said, we sat down and he helped me choose 10 songs out of over something like 55 or something like that. And then he helped pick the players for it. I didn't know Jeff Parton at all, and I didn't really know Jason Davis until the session either. And he's good buddies with Jim Van Cleef because they both used to play in this band Mountain Heart back in the day. And but I knew Jim as well. We were buddies. But yeah, he helped the musician. And then he also engineered, mixed, and mastered the whole thing. So, I mean, it was had a big say in a lot of that. And then if there was something like, should we take that again? Should we do that? Or can you get... He was great with directing, like, can you do this take a certain way? Or
Yeah,
it was a lot with that, though, I think, of as a producer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he played on it too.
Yeah. I mean, and he shredded mandolin on it.
Yeah. And I think he was like, all right, you take a break here. And he helped with kind of choosing when some of that stuff's going to be. So I think there's definitely a lot of producing that comes along with that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But you're thinking of like beats and
producing. Well, I was just thinking, I've never like been on a bluegrass session before. I've recorded maybe like a couple bluegrass tunes, but like maybe one or like once or twice. I'm thinking of like, you know, 5 or 10 years ago or something crazy. You know, it's not like doing a whole record.
Yeah. Well, it sounded like you played mandolin on a Zach Top recording.
Yeah. Well, that was just us.
Just for us.
Yeah.
But
it was like yeah. You know, we used to do like a performance with each podcast guest, and I would play with everyone.
But
it was just too much work to like record everything all the time.
And
put them out every week, and it was just a time sink in a way.
Not Charlie's too rich for our blood.
Yeah. it's just too much work.
Yeah.
So I hear you.
Very fun, though.
It was.
Honestly, live performances were super cool. It's just, we just need a sponsor to pay for them, you know?
Yeah.
Shout out Surfside.
Yeah. We love you, Surfside. But man, it's been super cool to have you here. Thank you so much for being here, and thanks for playing Rowdy on the Row too.
Oh, that's gonna be a lot of fun.
We got a good one. Gabe Quinn is gonna be playing with you. I don't know if you've looked him up, but he's really cool.
I have heard that name before.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the only one that I recognized off the list. But I look forward to meeting him. Yeah.
And then Ashton's gonna be on your hour too. Ashlyn Butler, who you know, Kurt's played on one of his songs before, I think.
Yeah, right? I played Steel on his record. Yep.
Yeah.
Nice.
And really great dude. And he kind of like, he's mainstream country, but his music kind of traverses too. So like when I had you and had Gabe, I was like, that kind of is like a cool pairing. And then Ashton's a great guy too. I think it'll be really cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Well, well, we're looking forward to seeing you at the Basement. We're both in town.
Yeah, and then I think May 9th. The other, that's May 9th. And the other thing that's kind of around here is the George Dickel Distillery, which is supposed to be on July 18th. So
cool.
That's what I got coming up, man.
That's awesome. Well, we're super excited to see you play, man. I'm excited for tonight, of course, to see you. But
oh, yeah.
I can't wait to see your full set at the Basement.
Oh, yeah. That'll be full band and
yeah,
living it up.
Jamming it out.
With guests, special guests.
Special yeah. guests. Maybe you. Maybe yeah. you.
Yeah. Maybe Billy Strings will come.
Yeah.
Who knows? Never know.
I could probably play the foot tap. That's about all yeah. I got in the tank, you know?
Yeah. Well, Mason, thanks for coming on, man. We appreciate you. So yeah. much. Yeah.
Thank y'all so much for having me. This has been great.
Dude, yeah. thank
love
you
y'all's
so much.
Little spot here. This is
it is fun. We and I'll give you a pack of Surfside to go.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go. Party time tonight. Yeah. yeah I hear you.
Once it's a little later in the day, we can have some Surfside.
Yeah.
But guys, thank you so much for listening. If you don't follow Mason, make sure you do. And check out the album that is either just about to drop or just dropped, depending on when you're listening to this.
Yes.
And we're super thankful to have you here on the pod and back in town to hang with us, Mason.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And we'll see you in the front row.
Hell yeah.